What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I am your host. And today we are starting another series on biblical counseling stories. Bum, 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 bum. That's my 60 seconds / investigative reporter noise for all of you. And if you would like, I'm going to talk in my Barbara Walters accent this whole entire episode because we are doing another investigation. All right, I'll stop messing around. Yeah, we've done biblical counseling stories all the way back to AI therapy. I did an episode on Ozempic and understanding that. And what I've tried to do is to take more of a narratival form in our episodes to report to you on current issues. It's fascinating to me. Well, because when I did the Crunchy episode, many of you had written in and given me really strong feedback to help me better understand the situation and what it means to be a healthy versus an obsessively healthy type of person. So sometimes there are things in biblical counseling which are not really problems, but they're more pertinent and relevant to what's going on. And yes, they create problems. Today's story is going to be about medical aid in dying. It is also called MAID for short, M-A-I-D. And yeah, that is, it's been, as I'll speak more of here in a second, it's been called euthanasia, suicide. But what's this current biblical counseling series going to be on? Well, this story is going to be particularly about medical aid in dying. And then next week, I'm going to do my best to pick up with the biblical principles, just like I've done in each of the biblical counseling stories, the biblical principles that should frame in our understanding of what a Christian should believe about medical assistance or aid in dying. Before we jump into the meat of things, if you are blessed by Transformed and you would like to see us continue to get this content out there, would you take just a second and ensure that you're following us, Apple, Spotify, Amazon? And if you're on Apple or Spotify, it would be awesome if you could leave a review. Remember, my mom says that this is the best podcast that's ever been recorded. So feel free to type that in. Meemaw says this is the best podcast, and she's very objective. So your reviews, they do help. And I've been so surprised how Transform keeps growing and growing and growing. So praise the Lord. It's all His Word. I'm just a farmer. And I'm a farmer who is wearing overalls and no shoes. So it's really not about what I'm doing. It's about just teaching the Word. So back to today's topic, medical aid in dying. I did reach out to Canada, the country. I don't know what other Canada there would be. Fraser Health with an S in British Columbia. And I asked them how Americans could go about receiving medical assistance in dying in Canada. Like, is that possible at all? When I started this quest, I did not realize how prevalent medical assistance in dying is already within the U.S. As I'm recording this right now, I am in Southern California, and it's probably not hard to guess that California is one of the states in the U.S. where you can legally receive medical assistance in dying. I reached out to Canada, first of all, because I thought they were the primary place you could go to receive medical assistance in dying, and it turns out that is not true at all. You can do this stateside, although there will be some delineations that I'll make here in a second in terms of stateside help you can receive. Their response was, if you do not qualify for Canadian healthcare, then guess what? We are not going to be able to help you with medical assistance in dying because this is a medical-related program. Totally fair. That makes sense. Just so you guys know, I'm not like discouraged or depressed. Like I was trying to research for this biblical counseling story. And part of doing that, I want to get like firsthand experience of what it is like to reach out. Medical aid in dying is also called medically assisted suicide. And even that debate in and of itself, it warrants greater clarification because by changing the term from suicide to dying, it often is a little bit more tasteful, or it's seen as being compassionate. And as a Christian, when a term is changed, I want you to be very discerning. When you hear a category changed to be called something else, that usually means there's a Trojan horse that's coming with it. So if it's ever like, hey, we would like to change it from abuse to addiction, you're like, well, what are the implications of making that terminology change? When you don't call it dying, when you don't call it suicide, but you say medical aid in dying, there are worldview problems that begin to take place with that. Suicide has typically been known as self-murder, where you're killing yourself. And medical assistance in dying are made, that is now, it's seemingly this like medical terminology where we're saying, ultimately you're getting medical help in your death. And there's this hesitation to use words that are maybe like mildly offensive. So medical assisted suicide, euthanasia. When I say euthanasia, that term rings a bell. Typically we've considered it for those who are elderly and those with terminal illnesses. Euthanasia is illegal as it stands in the US. And that means that a medical doctor is helping you take your own life, and the medical doctor is initiating that in some way. Whereas medical assistance is dying, a medical doctor is not going to actually do the injection or administer the pill. What they're going to do is actually give those things to you, and then you will do those on your own. So MAID has been called medical assisted suicide, euthanasia, obviously just suicide in and of itself. And if you're interested, it was a relatively helpful debate. I listened to the Free Press's debate with Lydia Dugdale and David Hoffman, and they were both opposing views on the topic. Neither of them were Christians arguing for a biblical worldview. They were arguing for the ethical practice of medically assisted suicide or death. The reality is that this is very pertinent right now because New York State is currently voting or reviewing a Medical Aid in Dying Act, which is A136 or Senate Bill 138. Really, what New York is most likely going to do is become the next of the U.S. states where it is legal to receive medical assistance in dying in New York. And when I read the states that are already doing this, you could probably guess them already. Many of them are very liberal in their politics. So if you were to guess, this is from Florida, the website is Florida Death with Dignity that lists 11 different states. Washington State, Oregon, California, Montana, Colorado, New Mexico, Maine, Vermont, DC, New Jersey, Delaware, and Hawaii. And one more organization called Compassion and Choices includes Illinois. I did not go research each of those states to verify that that's true. So if you're doing research, listening to this, or you hear this and you're like, hey, Dr. Gifford, I'm in New Mexico and that's not true here, feel free to write in and tell me, hey, Dr. Gifford, not true. And I would be more than happy to do a revision. But as it stands right now, on the release of this episode, about 12 states in the US, potentially 13 or however you're going to count them, if New York joins legalizing medical assistance in dying. So that's where things currently stand. So why does this issue even matter? Because it's growing more and more and more. Obviously, the UK has published different decisions by people who have used the medical assistance in dying. Canada is also practicing the same. And then really 12, 13 different states in the US are currently practicing. So what is it? What is medical assistance in dying? And this is where you have to just kind of get down to like brass tacks. What are we talking about? CompassionandChoices.org, and notice the terminology that they use. They say it is this: a trusted and time-tested medical practice that allows a terminally ill, mentally capable adult with a prognosis of 6 months or less to live to request from their doctor a prescription for medication they can decide to self-ingest to die peacefully in their sleep. This is it's definitely charged with language, as you may have noticed, trusted and time-tested medical practice. There is this idea of trying to cultivate trust and onboarding toward this idea. Essentially, what happens is if a person receives a medical prognosis, and at this point, mental illnesses have been ruled out even by liberal countries such as Canada as not viable options for why you would receive MAID. So if you have a physiological illness, terminal illness, and you've been told you have less than 6 months to live, then you can request a medication from your doctor that will allow you to go to sleep. It's a sedative, and then it will stop your heart in the sleep process. The doctor gives you the pill, but the doctor does not administer the pill to you. That would be euthanasia, where you are literally being killed, where here MAID is saying the doctor prescribes this to you. As best as I can tell currently, and I'm sure there are medical experts listening to this, As best as I can tell, there are no instances of abuse where this has gone too far or people did not want medical assistance in dying. I haven't seen any foul play up to this point. I mean, honestly, you have to have medical insurance. There's a process for vetting. There is a sense in which you have to meet all of the criteria, over 18, medical prognosis. So this isn't something that willy-nilly you can just go to your general practitioner and get help with. I do not know this to be true, but when I was listening to the Free Press's articulation of what's taken place, they said that very few general practitioners and very few medical doctors are excited to even enter into this world, that they would prefer to help and not even dabble in the reality of helping someone, I guess, bring their life to an end or commit suicide or the maid stuff. So that is something that it just seems like a very unlikely reality that many medical doctors want to participate in this program. Okay, one more definition, then a break. The American Medical Association says physician-assisted suicide occurs when a physician facilitates a patient's death by providing the necessary means and or information to enable the patient to perform the life-ending act. An example, the physician provides sleeping pills and information about the lethal dose while aware that the patient may commit suicide. So we kind of have a working definition. We need to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll pick up with our biblical counseling story. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he continues to investigate this medical aid in dying. And the shift in terminology reveals everything about the time and moment that we're currently living in. Suicide sounds too harsh, right? It sounds too final. It sounds too tragic. But medical aid in dying, well, that's just compassionate and clinical, isn't it? No, it's the same outcome, just different packaging. And this is exactly why places like the Master's University matter more and more each year. Dr. Gifford is a professor there. Dr. Adam Tyson, also a professor there. And what they're teaching and what they're doing every day is helping students understand that working in whatever field that you're working in is a ministry opportunity. And today, we can't operate with 1950s assumptions about what people request. Students are learning to address end-of-life discussions where families are discussing medical aid and dying now instead of hospice information. They're being equipped for ethical minefields that are awaiting them in their life, because their whole life is ministry, and that's what the Master's University understands and is teaching every single student who comes to school there. And if you have a high school senior or you know someone who does, or maybe you're looking to go back to school yourself, I can't recommend the Master's University enough. You can get the conversation started right now by going to masters.edu/transformed. Look, we're living in a time right now where a lot of us have been asleep at the wheel, the cultural wheel for sure. And this state-by-state expansion of medical aid in dying, Greg's talking about it, it should raise red flags for every single conservative. I don't care where you live, it's happening everywhere. It's not landmark liberalism anymore, meaning that it's not just happening in the places where it's majority liberal. It's happening everywhere. It's mainstream American policy spreading through state legislatures while churches are debating worship styles and building campaigns. That's why your gospel partnership matters more than ever. We are creating content just like what Greg is doing right now that reaches more people in more places all over the world, and we need your help to do it. If you've been impacted by anything we're doing here at Fortis Institute and you have an ability to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, I want you to know that you are helping us address what others aren't touching. And we want you to go to fortisinstitute.org right now, because we know you've got questions about exactly what this is going to look like for your life to join us. So go to FortisInstitute.org right now and get the answers to those questions that you have. Now, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford as he continues to talk about medical aid in dying. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been in Barbara Walters mode. Bum, 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 bum. Yes, biblical counseling stories, medical aid in dying, raising the awareness of what has been taking place, currently up for affirmation, vote within New York State, the Medical Dying Act, A-136, Senate Bill 138. Really what's happening is that more and more the legalization of suicide is taking place in the U.S. And whatever it's been called historically, it hasn't been called made. it's most of the time been called euthanasia and medically assisted suicide. And what you may recall, as we ended the break, I said there's basically one singular definition. In America, what is taking place is that when you meet certain physiological criteria, you can consult with your doctor, and then your doctor can actually give you a prescription that will end your life, but you have to self-ingest that. In other countries, and I am thinking primarily of the UK and Canada, the option can also be for the medical doctor to administer this to you. And so it seems like a very terrible reality to be thinking of your life in such desperate ways. But as I have researched, there is nothing to say that this would apply toward mental illnesses, that this would apply towards, and I should probably say so-called mental illnesses, but many of you have listened to Transform long enough to know that I'm obviously skeptical of what we call mental illnesses. Are they really illnesses of the mind? So my concern was that that was potentially going to be a reason for MAID, and there's nothing that I found where it was. And you could always say, well, hey, Dr. Gifford, that is the potential of where things would go. And it's like, yeah, of course. In everything, there is a potential for misuse. So even that argumentation, it's not a home run to say, well, MAID is inherently wrong because of what it could become. You have to say, well, MAID is inherently wrong because of what it is. And I do think there are things that you really need to consider if you're wrestling with the issue of, is it biblical or unbiblical? Not in what it could become, but what it is already. So let's talk a little bit about how it works. And I want to be sensitive here because we recognize if you've ever been with someone who's dying and you know that their time is near, what happens is that it's a very painful, sad process. And for many, it's like watching our loved one fade away. And I want to be very compassionate about that because it, in the times where I've experienced it, it's sad. Like we are longing for death to release them. And I think of the words of Paul in Philippians 1, where he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And there are two, and I'm thinking of my grandfather and a friend who died in his 40s. We're longing that God would actually be gracious and bring death for them because of the suffering that they're enduring. And when I FaceTimed with a buddy of mine as he was dying, and we all knew his time was getting near, swollen, legs are swollen, face was pale, just in like absolute discomfort. So when a person is getting to that point, the whole way that MAID is framed is this is the compassionate thing to do. Or even websites, as I was looking in Canada, the Dying with Dignity websites will say something like, it's your life, it's your choice. You know, death is your choice. No one's deciding to do that when everything's going well. So we have to kind of frame this in a sense of like, let's be compassionate, because if you're really wrestling with, do you qualify? Most likely you're in significant physical pain. And if you've ever been in bad enough physical pain for long enough, it makes sense. It doesn't mean it's right, but it makes sense why a person might say, I would like to see what my options are here. I have a friend who was a mentor, is a mentor, I don't see him as much, but he suffered with ongoing migraines and he's in his 60s. So the Lord could very much allow him to live 10 or 15 years with these really intense migraines. And he said, Greg, I totally understand the temptation for someone to want to commit suicide because I have no cure for these migraines and it's just continuous. Sometimes it's debilitating where I cannot function that day because of my migraines. So guys, as you're listening to this or maybe watching this, just remember that what we're seeing is that a person's in extreme physical pain and they're beginning to tinker with what are the options to end their life. And they've been given a prognosis that death is sure or most likely certain. We don't always know that, as I'll remind you of in our next episode. So that's where we're at. So how does that work? In other countries, you can receive an intravenous injection, and that would be really administered to you. It's unfortunate for us, but on death row in the US, that's what takes place. It's a medication that stops your heart. Whereas in the US, no one's going to administer that to you. Rather, what the doctor is going to do is tell you how you can take this medication. And it's usually self-administered orally. And it is accompanied with, it is accompanied with a sedative, according to the National Library of Medicine. In 2022, they said that the most common method for this is you take the pill, you go to sleep, and where, you could probably guess, where does that most likely happen? At home. That was interesting because how many people have actually done this? I don't know what your guess would be. I actually thought the numbers are a lot higher than what they currently are. So if you have 12 states where this is legalized, let's say 11 just to err on the side of caution, According to the National Library of Medicine, over 23 years, about 13,780 people have practice made or received help with medically assisted death. Most of them, or all of them, received a prescription, something like that. So that's 13,780. Of that breakdown, more men than women died by MAID. It was about 53.1% as opposed to 46% women. I don't think you need to memorize these stats. The trend is just not amazingly high. And as you may be concerned about, what are the far-reaching implications? There is nothing that I've seen. There's a lot of things that concern me about where it could go, but there's nothing that I've seen so far where it's like, wow, this is an obvious risk and this is an obvious issue. Honestly, I was much more concerned about AI therapy and chatbots a year ago as I was recording the biblical counseling story on AI chatbots than I am currently on MAID. There's a lot of guardrails. Practitioners don't seem to be excited to be a part of this. And when you pull the numbers are not staggeringly high. Compassion in Dying, that's another organization. I cited them in the last segment. They would put the number closer to 12,425, whereas I said National Library of Medicine said 13,780. So if we just met somewhere in the middle and said maybe 13,000 people in 23 years have practice MAID, whether that's through a pill or whether that's through some other form of assistance, it's not staggering. So here is the question. Who makes the call? Who makes the call? Well, as of now, there are medical criteria that you have to meet. And if you meet that criteria, then you can qualify for medical assistance in death in these 11 states. So technically, you do not make the call and you don't have the right to tell the doctor, yes, I am done. You know, like I'm sad. I don't want to live anymore. So please give me something to take my life. So you do not make the call. And technically, your doctor doesn't make the call either. Because if you don't meet these criteria, your doctor cannot prescribe this medication to you without risking liability to their own licensure and practice. The questions that should concern you, they really do start to pop up immediately. Without a clear criteria for who makes this call, this becomes weaponized relatively quickly. It seems very dangerous, very quickly dangerous, to have a government, and let's just take any government. This is not about America. This could be some other government in some other part of the world, a Canadian, British. It seems very dangerous to have a government telling us who is valuable and who is not valuable. And that's essentially, that's what we're getting down to. It's like, whose life is going to make it and whose is not, and who has the right to take their own life and who does not. That is part of the conversation here. It also seems very, very dangerous to have a doctor determining who is going to be healthy and for how long. We're immediately ruling out the miraculous and the supernatural. You're immediately ruling out the fact that God may choose to heal you. So yes, from an earthly sense, you have 6 months. But from God's perspective, he may choose to actually revitalize your health and restore you back to health. We've seen things where Hezekiah prays and God restores him back and gives him, I think it's 15 more years. You see where Job is afflicted to the point of desiring that God would finish. And what you see is that he's actually restored back in Job 41 and I think 42, where Job is restored back sevenfold of everything that he had. So it's we see instances where that prognosis just flat out was not true. So what's the core issue here? And this is going to help set me up for our next episode. Medical intervention to end a life is the core issue. That is different from life support sustaining, where you have medical procedures that can elongate your life. The question is going to be, at what point can a medical doctor who has taken the Hippocratic Oath actually do harm to end your life? Where does that become their jurisdiction? And I am going to argue for you that medically, it never becomes a doctor's jurisdiction. In the Bible, when we see instances of suicide, they are almost always spoken of as being negative and anti-God's will. Sometimes it's just a narrative, so it's just a historical fact. Boom. But even when we see Saul, who is the closest of all to have a medical injury, take his own life, that is still not God's plan. And David is actually going to be irritated by the Amalekite who tries to capitalize on that moment. Never once do we see suicide painted in a positive or admirable light in the scripture. Even with Samson and the Philistines, never is it painted as a positive thing. So we have to zoom out and say, is this beyond the jurisdiction of medical doctors? And I hope that question piques your interest. because you have to join me in the next episode to hear the rest. So let me pray for us and we will be done for today, Lord. Your life that you give us as you breathe the breath of life, it is for you. Help us to value life because we value the image that you have put on us and in us. May we protect life at every stage, and even in the most difficult times, may we trust you with our life. You give it and you take it. Lord, be with those in the difficult situations that are potentially wrestling with these questions. Minister comfort to them in ways that only you can. Lord, give them peace that passes all understanding, I pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.